Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, I mean, just get jiggy. You gotta be explosive, gotta be twitchy in those settings to create some, you know, separation, keep the defender on their toes. So not doing the expected.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Washington wide receiver Roma Dunze. I recognize that from the NFL Combine. I didn't even have to ask Alex Kuhn where that audio came from.
It came from you.
It came from me. I sent that audio.
You are the source.
Yes. No secrets here. I and several others spoke to Roma Dunze at the NFL Combine way back in February. So many things have changed since then. And we play Roma Dunze because, you know, that's somebody the Bears could be looking at with the 9th overall pick. And we'll talk more about that 9th overall pick here in just a couple minutes with EJ Snyder, senior draft analyst, Bootleg Football Podcast, who was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day. But we're going to talk to him a little bit more about the number 9 pick. And I have thoughts on it as well. But one thing I wanted to address too here at the top, as per our conversation with Trey Wingo. Trey Wingo was on fire at 625. He hated the trade that the Bears made for a couple of reasons. That what they didn't get back, conditional 6th-round pick. And Trey Wingo is a believer that they should have kept Justin Fields on the roster at the same time as Caleb Williams, which I came to believe or think was untenable. And I had been with Trey Wingo for a while on that. But just as time has gone on and talking to enough people, I realized that, yeah, it would be too much to pile on Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. And you know, Trey's point was, well, hey, they better be able to handle it. This is a good test to see if they can handle it, be a man, that kind of thing. But, you know, my thought process is that's an overwhelming amount of pressure that both of those guys, no matter who was starting, but if it's Caleb Williams starting, he throws a pick, Justin Fields, as popular as he is, they're going to be calling for him. And I understand that that is fan play and all of that and us yapping on the radio, but it's all part of the football universe, and that gets in their heads. It's part of it, whether we want it to be or not.
Do you remember, people might forget this, not a lot of, there's some people who don't follow college football, but Caleb Williams, I think it was his redshirt freshman year at Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler was a starting quarterback.
Mm.
And the whole, he was struggling. The whole stadium was chanting, "We want Caleb." You should have seen the look. Oh. Go on YouTube and look at the look on Spencer Rattler's face.
Oh, I bet.
And just how untenable that situation became.
It is untenable.
Now, just imagine that in this town.
Oh.
Looking for a quarterback where you have the number one pick coming in and a really popular guy.
Yeah.
Sitting
it's
right
just
behind
too him. Much. And as a general rule, I understood where Trey Wingo was coming from. Absolutely. That, yeah, hey, man, you got to be able to handle that. Hey, this is business. Like, come on. But you got to understand, like, and maybe it takes being from Chicago. And I am from Chicago, and I happen to cover the Bears professionally. So I have a pretty decent amount of insight on how this would go for the Chicago Bears. I mean, you gave that example, Alex. I mean, it happened on the Bears watching Justin Fields' rookie year when Andy Dalton was throwing in the preseason and they were letting him have it.
He was getting booed. He's getting in the first preseason game, right?
Yes. And Justin Fields even came out afterwards and kind of did the guy appreciated, but yeah, y'all should lay off Andy, you know? I want to start too and all that, and I hope everything works out here. Love you, but maybe get off of Andy's back. That was preseason, and that was Andy Dalton. So, and I understand that they were looking for Justin Fields, which I understood, but this is like a trust me situation. It's just too much. I hear you, Trey. I hear everybody who is on that side of things. And like I said, I had been on that side, but trust me, like, that is not a situation that would be healthy for the organization. When we talk about, you know, the bigger picture of what's best for the Bears, and what is best for the Bears is not having those two guys on the roster at the same time. The other thing I wanted to say, too, was a texter had said, I think a couple of texters had said during the Trey Wingo, here it is, here's one of them specifically, A15, what does this have to do with today? Don't want a history lesson. And that's when Trey Wingo was talking about the lack of quarterbacks that the Bears have had historically. I am here to tell you that while I get you, you don't want to hear those names over and over, like the litany of Sid Luckman's and Bobby Douglas's and Jim McMahon's and Eric Kramer's that we go through. Did I name them all? I think I just named all the good. Oh, Jay Cutler. I think I just named all the really good, productive Bears quarterbacks. I think I just did it. Unfortunately, history does matter. And it's not just having fun with sports and talking about history because sometimes it's fun to pull names and to do those kinds of lists. No, because you have had the same owners who have hired and sometimes not hired historically general managers and who since Ditka have always hired, generally speaking, except for John Fox, inexperienced rookie head coaches to come on board. So there has been a similar mentality in terms of the hiring that starts with ownership and then a mentality of football that in the early days worked out real well. And that was the defense is everything. Running the football is second everything. And yeah, that looked very good on the Bears for a long time. And it won you a Super Bowl in the 1980s in an extraordinary circumstance, though. That almost an outlier because of how talented they were. But they got there by doing it like that, but that way doesn't work anymore. And I think that the organization has figured that out because they have allowed big swings at quarterback for a while now, with Jay Cutler being one of those, Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields a big swing, and now this is an easy swing, but it will be a big swing that the Bears will all of a sudden be having come on board. But I think that the history part matters because the same ownership has been in place, and I think that they see that things need to change, but that it is worth mentioning that because there has been an overall philosophy, I think, Alex, with this entire organization historically, some of which I have bought into, some of the mentality of which I love when it comes to that grinded out kind of blue collar style of football, but that doesn't exist anymore. And it has taken the people that really run the football team a while to figure it out. And I think too, and this is like a shout out to ownership and the McCaskies to say the hiring Kevin Warren, we don't know what Kevin Warren's going to be like ultimately, but that's a great hiring. That's a great hire philosophically to allow change in your organization, some power to be delegated to in a different direction.
Yeah, and what Ryan Poles is doing philosophically is great. Like, take a big swing on a quarterback, make a difficult decision, and if you believe you have a generational talent available for you, put everything around him to make him as successful as possible. Will it work out? I don't know, but philosophically, he's doing something that is different than that heritage.
Yeah.
Bears.
Yes.
Let's win with defense and special teams.
Right.
That has hung over the franchise for so long.
Yeah. They've had to adjust. And I'm talking about ownership through the years. They've had to adjust. So all of this to say, history does matter because history still is here. They're the same people. So history does matter, and it's always worth mentioning the lack of success at the quarterback position because of the debate, the conversation that has gone on, and that gives it some serious gravity when you realize the lack of playoff appearances, the lack of playoff wins, and the biggest reason being is the quarterback position. I mean, if you really want to go back, the reason the Bears didn't win more in the 80s, like win more Super Bowls, which a lot of people like think that they should have, you know, a lot of that came down to the fact that they did not have a healthy quarterback. That Jim McMahon was a very good quarterback, but he was brittle as a quarterback. He got injured all the time, to the point where, you know, you're seeing guys like Steve Fuller and Doug Flutie once upon a time. Jim Harbaugh was one of the, Mike Tomczak, all these guys, quarterback for the Bears to some degree of success, because Jim McMahon could not stay healthy, and they probably would have won more if it wasn't for Jim. So even then, when you did have sustained success, even then you couldn't get to the next level anymore because the Chicago Bears franchise did not have a quarterback in place to keep up with the rest of the NFL and get to the next level. You know, there's a level that you can get to without a really good quarterback or sustained success at the quarterback position. But as we have seen, man, the party ends pretty quickly. How fast was the 2018 party? Boy, that, because you didn't have a quarterback. Oh, you had an elite defense, but guess what? You didn't have, you, that's a great example. 2018, elite defense, representative offense, eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. And we don't have to go into all the circumstances of that playoff loss and all that, but that's a pretty good example. And then the party was over pretty quickly in 2019, and the Bears have been, well, there was another playoff year. What was that, 2020, 21? There was a weird playoff season where they got smoked.
Was that the first year they expanded the playoffs, where they played in New Orleans? Was that the year you're talking about?
It was New Orleans. Yeah,
New Orleans.
Yeah.
I know we have to get to EJ, but EJ, your point on this discussion, I go back to something Olin Krute said on, it was a pregame show this year. And he was talking about, like, some people don't believe that the quarterback is that important. He said if he went back in time to the Super Bowl they played in against Peyton Manning and was an analyst, not a player, his professional analysis would be, the Bears have no chance.
Really?
Against Peyton Manning.
Wow.
He said that.
Just ultimately.
And he's telling
knew.
You how important a quarterback is.
He was right. He was right. And it was ultimately Peyton Manning who did in, coincidentally, Danielle Manning of the Chicago Bears. And again, like I said earlier, I don't want to bring anybody down on a Friday night, so I'm not going in depth on Chicago sports tragedies tonight. All right, Alex Kuhn reminded me that we do need to get to EJ Snyder. Our conversation continues here, the senior draft analyst of the Bootleg Football Pod. We talked a lot about Caleb Williams in our first conversation, or the first part of our conversation with him, because he was at the pro day at USC for Caleb Williams. Now, let's turn our attention to the number 9 overall pick in the draft, which the Bears currently own.
That's a fascinating question, and will continue to be even after I think Caleb Williams is selected on night one of the draft, is what happens at 9. It becomes the position of intrigue, if you will.
Yep.
If a few players slip, I think you just have to take them. One of those players for me is a guy right up the road at UW, Roma Dunze. I believe he is a talent that you can't pass up if he slides to nine. I don't believe he will slide to nine. My second choice there would most likely be trading down because there is a big gap right now. Bears don't have a ton of picks. They go all the way from 9 to 75, and a lot of the talent, especially in this draft, is going to go off the board between those picks. So if they get an offer at 9 from a team coming up to get, I don't know, the second offensive tackle or possibly even the first edge rusher off the board, I think they should probably take that, get multiple picks, and continue to fill out the roster unless a guy like Rome is there, where I think you just run the card up to the podium, feel really good about the person, feel extremely good about the player. And then as, you know, Keenan plays his, you know, presumably last few years, you've already got an heir apparent in the wings that can contribute also as a third wide receiver this year.
Yeah, that, man, that would look... Can't imagine how nice that would be for a developing top.
It is hard to think about, isn't it?
Oh man, that, like, and your mind, has Rome Odunze passed up Malik Nabers, or was your assumption that Malik Nabers would get picked before Rome Odunze and the Bears would never have a chance at him?
I really think it's 1A and 1B, and it's going to depend on the team that's choosing them. They're both incredibly talented wide receivers. I believe that Rome's a little bit more complete, but Malik is more explosive for sure. And if you are prioritizing those explosive plays and the down the field plays in terms of raw speed, Malik Nabers is going to be your choice for literally everything else. I think it's Rome. I know Rome is a really solid kid. Again, I got to see him last year at UW's Pro Day. He wasn't participating, but he came to, you know, support all his teammates. And even then, everybody knew he was the dude. When he walked in the room, everybody kind of turned around like, oh, Rome's here. And then he went out and had the year that he had with Penix this year. But I really don't think it's sort of either is head and shoulders above the other. Both incredibly talented. I think they'll both be very productive pros.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you too about the character. I got to, and not like I intimately know Rome Odunze, but in a group of reporters at the Combine, he was one of the guys that was, you know, just a fascinating personality. And his stock has certainly risen since the Combine. He has done well for himself, so it'll be very interesting to see where he goes. I mean, look, we can't rule out anything for the Bears at 9. I wouldn't be shocked. Look, if somebody like right now, I think Joel Alt, the big left tackle from Notre Dame, probably goes in the top 5. And when I say top 5, maybe number 5 to the, yep, Chargers. I could see, right? I could see, you could see Jim Harbaugh doing that, right? I mean,
100%.
Yeah, he could do that. But I would, I mean, if that guy's around at number 9. I think the Bears have to consider that. I mean, if they want to continue to create this nest that you and I have been talking about, EJ, I don't know that I would pass up on Joel Alt.
He would be a very difficult player to pass up on as a talent, also as a person, very well-rounded player. I think the best overall tackle in this draft happens to be a left tackle. The question becomes, what are you going to do with Braxton at that point? I don't think Braxton keeps you from picking Joel Alt, but also I don't think you need Joel Alt necessarily. So in a sort of nightmare scenario where Odunze is off the board, Nabers is off the board, you know, Alt sitting there and nobody wants to trade down, you have to look at the value that's left on the board. But I would still hope for them to get down and get some more picks because they don't have a tremendous need for Alt. If Joe Alt ends up being a Bear, not going to be terribly sad from a player point of view. Joe Alt is tremendous, and I think he will be a, you know, 7 to 8 year sort of bookend at left tackle. And that's not a bad thing to have on a football team. But from a value perspective, I would be a little bit sad because then you got to sit all the way until 75 and watch all the rest of that talent go off the board.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, there is that gap, man. Yeah, third and fourth round picks for sure. But we shall see. Very intriguing there. Hey, EJ, what did you think about Justin Fields and what the Bears got back? And I don't know where you stood on Fields, if you were a supporter, if you thought it was time to move on. But if it's possible, I'd like to give everybody a chance here while we're still in the window to characterize what they thought of the Justin Fields era and how the trade went down and the ending, if it's possible for you to capitalize that in a couple minutes here.
Yeah, that's tough to do. But I was both with Justin Fields. I was a supporter for sure. I was incredibly encouraged when he was drafted. that I thought he would be the answer for the quarterback at the Bears. That didn't occur. There's a lot of reasons for that, but I don't think the Bears in this position could do anything else in good conscience. If this was a poor quarterback draft, we'd be having a different discussion. It is not a poor quarterback draft, and you're sitting there with the number one overall pick through sheer luck, really. You trade with the Panthers and they turn out to be the worst team in the league. You get the number one pick for the second year in a row. That just doesn't happen. As the Bears, you just have to move into that rookie quarterback contract window. It's so important for team building. And you've got Caleb Williams, who has the potential to be a superstar in the NFL, sitting there. In terms of, you know, Justin's outlook in the league, I hope he succeeds. He has the talent to do it. That's very clear. I think he needs a different situation. I think both sides needed a fresh start. In terms of what the Bears got for compensation, they were a little bit over the barrel. The rest of the league knew that they were going to move on from Justin and therefore didn't have to offer a lot. The Bears said that they wanted to do right by Justin. I think, you know, Tomlin and the Steelers is a good landing spot for him. I don't think Russ is necessarily a long-term answer for Pittsburgh. So there is opportunity there for Justin, if he plays well, to play himself into the starting role and either, you know, sign an extension with Pittsburgh or to have, again, a very healthy free agency market if he proves he can be the effective starter in Pittsburgh. So I hope that happens for him. He seems like a really good dude. Again, I have not met Justin, but from every interaction he had in Chicago, it seemed like he handled it pretty well. And he is a very, very talented guy. I know people are screaming about, you know, low draft pick compensation, but the bottom line is the league will tell you what your player's worth. And there were not other offers out there that were significantly higher than what they got.
Yep. I think you characterized that very well, and I think that, you know, Justin Fields goes to a place, I think everybody could look at it logically and say that you're not exactly behind an elite quarterback anymore in Russell Wilson, and that maybe, you know, it's not implausible that he could take over, or even after a year. So that's probably the best of situations. And I got to tell you, man, EJ, I do know Justin Fields a little bit, and, you know, cover the Bears on a daily basis. So it was, to me, what my reaction was actually not anger. It was, there was a relief factor, I think, that went into this. I don't even rule out the possibility that Ryan Poles just wanted to get this damn thing done before this pro day that we were talking about, because then they have a clear that they're taking Caleb Williams out for dinner, that they're out there, you know, hugging him and hanging out with him. It would have been very awkward, I think, if Justin Fields was still on the roster. So it just, I mean, I think more and more the Bears probably made the right decision. And if people have a problem with the compensation, I totally get it. I'm not here to knock you down. Last question for you, EJ Snyder. Caleb Williams is your number one quarterback. Do you have a number two and number three? I don't know if you have rankings at all of your quarterbacks, but I do like asking people, especially the Jaden Daniels, Drake May, two and three, or maybe you have a wild card in there.
Yeah, right now for me, it is Daniels and May at the second tier. And again, haven't finalized who's two and who's three. It's less important to me in terms of, you know, who's two and who's three. It's more important to me that that is the second tier of talent, and I think they should be the next quarterbacks to come off the board. So I'll have finalized rankings out before the draft. But again, Caleb in his own tier at the top. Next tier is indeed Daniels and May, and it will probably be in that order, I think, when we get to, you know, everything said and done. But again, a lot of quarterback talent in this draft, and just lucky for the Bears that they don't just have that number nine pick, that they also have the number one pick that they got from Carolina. They can take their pick of the entire draft, and I, again, think that should be Caleb Williams.
That's EJ Snyder, senior draft analyst, Bootleg Football Pod, with some good stuff, and he was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day as well. If you want to hear the first part of that interview, we played the first part all about Caleb Williams about 6:10 tonight. So if you want to go back on the Odyssey app or the Chapters app, it'll be right there for you to check out EJ Snyder and our entire conversation from earlier. And now I have room for you, and I hope that you have room for me at 312-644-6767. I'd like to think so. Friday nights are weird, though, man.
They are.
The rhythm of radio on a Friday is you just never know.
People are riled up tonight.
I can see that, and that is nice to see. Our little companion here, the text screen, would indicate to us that there are a ton of people listening to The Score right now. You just never know on a Friday, man. It's Friday. You're out there. You're listening. You're going someplace. But this is the place to be right here, man. It's Talking Bears on a Friday night. We'll actually talk some Cubs a bit later on as well. Justin Steele hurt himself today. We'll find out how serious. It sounds like it's not that big a deal, but we're going to find out from Megan Montemurro of the Tribune at 8 o'clock. So we'll talk to her about Justin Steele and the Cubs as they get ready to start the season for real. So that's around the corner. But I'm open, 312-644-6767.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Is the number. Alex Kuhn is our executive producer tonight. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I love this text. Okay, Grody, for the next 10 years, you can only pick one. A, Justin Fields, two playoff appearances, one Super Bowl victory, all 3,000-yard seasons. Okay, that's one. Or B, Caleb Williams, 10 playoffs, 5 Pro Bowls. This is like the Grand Slam breakfast. 5 4,000-yard seasons, no Super Bowl. So to make it easy for the listening audience, you can narrow it down to, would you rather see the Bears win a Super Bowl in the next 5, 10 years or see a spectacular quarterback? Alex, what's the answer?
I feel like everybody's going to say Super Bowl.
Of course. I mean, don't you have to say that? There's nobody that would admit. Well, I mean, that's the right answer. Nobody's going to admit that they wouldn't want to. That you have to say Super Bowl, right?
Yes. Like being a fan of a franchise that is always super close but never good enough to get over the hump is excruciating. I've talked to many Toronto Maple Leafs fans. I actually haven't, but I just imagine it is very excruciating.
Oh, right.
Minnesota Vikings fans
that haven't been there in as long as they haven't been there, are you saying?
Right. That are good. Yeah. Like the Vikings are always good enough to get into the playoffs, but are never good enough to win it.
That is the truth about the Vikings. They rarely let the bottom fall out, do they? Now we'll see. I mean, it's an interesting, unless they, you know, maybe their dirty little secret is they think Sam Darnold is good. But I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I mean, we're looking in the – if it stays with the Vikings at number 11, the Vikings, I don't know if they're slim pickings. They might have to settle for Bo Nix at that point.
Penix?
Or Michael Penix Jr. There's some people who really –
in O'Connell's offense?
Who was it that we had on, Alex, on the clock?
Baldy. He loves Penix.
Yeah, his second quarterback. I believe he said Caleb Williams won, and then without a doubt, because usually it's the question of Jaden Daniels or Drake May. That seems to be where, but in Baldy's case, Brian Baldinger, Baldy, we get to call him Baldy. Baldy thought that Michael Penix Jr. was the second best quarterback without a doubt, like, he's a tape watcher. He's just zeroing in on these guys. So very interesting. How would I answer that question? Yeah, I guess you have to. Yeah, it's a great text. But yeah, low key. God, I'd love to see some spectacular quarterback play if they don't win the big one. Hey man, I guess maybe this is a question. This would be a question that we should at some point in time ask a Buffalo Bills fan or somebody in Buffalo, because they've suffered that more than anybody. I mean, it could be the second time in their front, like where they have an elite quarterback for the second time in their franchise, and in this case, Josh Allen, and they're getting close. They're like the Boston Celtics. They're right there. They're getting close, but they're not quite getting there. 312-644-6767 is the number. Nick, thanks for waiting. You're on the Score.
Thank you, Mark, and I just want to compliment you before I get started on what a great job you do for the station. I really enjoy listening to you, how you're always jumping into different areas. I call you the Ben Zobrist of the Score.
I like that, Nick. Thank you so much. It is well worth the wait. I appreciate it.
And I also like to compliment you and your boss. I'm an original. I'm a Score listener from day one.
Oh, Bears.
Only the second time I've ever called a station. But also compliment you and your boss on your handling of Les's passing.
Thank you, really well done. I appreciate that, Nick. Thank you so much for the kind words.
But I'm calling just to emphasize and Trey Wingo is the best guest I've heard on the station since the season ended. He said everything articulated. I believe 100% of what he said. I agree 100% what he said. The only thing he didn't say is part of that, too, is getting rid of Fields is I think, Pace wanting to take pressure off his head coach. That's what I think. It wasn't the players. It's the head coach. The quarterback controversy, and they didn't want the scrutiny.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that is the case, Nick. I mean, I think for sure it became, and I keep using the word untenable, but this is, you know, it's a flurry of untenables coming out of my mouth because that is the right word to use for what this ultimately would have been. It would have been a mess. And it was sort of just something I finally realized as time went on because I was on the side of, hey, Justin Fields is an adult. This is a business. Fields is a great guy. Let's put all that to the test. Caleb Williams, I mean, it's good for the Bears because then you could start Justin Fields. And I actually used to subscribe to that. But as time went on and I thought about things and talked to many more people, I came to the side of, no, you just can't do this. You cannot have those two guys on the team at the same time, even though it probably would be ideal. But there is like that pressure from the outside, you know, the stuff that they block out or that they try to block out. There's only so much of that you can block out. It will eventually burst through, and it will hurt. And that is something that the athletes have to deal with and probably to a much higher degree just being in Chicago. 312-644-6767. Nick, thanks for the call. Let's go to Marshall in Idaho. That's where Marshall's hanging out. What's up, Marshall? You're on the Score.
Sounds good. Thanks. You're having a great show. Mike, I think we're taking Caleb Williams number one.
Okay.
So my question is, because I really want a wide receiver, if all of the good wide receivers are gone off the board, can we trade our ninth pick with another team for a star wide receiver, say DK Metcalf, a la, you know, Shane Waldron, or can we get somebody like AJ Brown, or is that crazy? And if so, who could we get if we just desperately wanted to get one more wide receiver?
Yeah, somebody that is proven
number nine pick.
Yeah, man, I appreciate the call. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, was calling for Terry McLaurin for the Bears to make some action, and there'd have to be more pieces involved. But I would start to talk to a team about Terry McLaurin with that number nine overall pick. I mean, this is a guy who's automatic 1,000 yards every season. He's like DJ Moore. He's an automatic 1,000-yard guy who's a terrific route runner and all that. Man, I think they answered the question, though, because they got Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick. So, yeah, I'm going to back off of that number nine pick slightly. But I understand where you're coming from because it's pretty cool how veteran wide receivers, when they come to your team, it works. Like watching DJ Moore do what he did last year, just like from a systematic standpoint in terms of the trade and everything that went, that was really cool to see that. Oh, lights, camera, action. Boom, DJ Moore, hello. Guy's really good. And that works. Like Justin Fields had a really nice connection with DJ Moore. And then now you bring in Keenan Allen. So, hey, guess what? You start to get an idea philosophically of where Ryan Poles is, and he understands the need for wide receivers who have done it before, and that's the case with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. So, yeah, you've got a couple of really good guys in place right there. Let's go to We did. Oh, we go to Bob. Got Bob. Bob in Arlington Heights. What's going on, Bob?
Good evening, Mark. I'm not, as I told Alex, I'm not sure if you're old enough or have enough scar tissue to remember the Buffalo Bills losing four consecutive Super Bowls.
I was just talking about that, Bob.
Oh, okay. Fact, yeah. I might have been out of the room, but, you know, 91, 92, 93, 94. And I'm not sure their scar tissue out there is any different. I mean, I think as a Bears fan, and you and I have talked a lot of times over the years, and I go back to, you know, being one of the guys that, you know, I pride myself on the fact that Les never dumped me. I came awful close, but he never dumped me.
Dump him.
But, you know, my frame of reference is I saw Bill Wade win the National Football Championship. National Football League Championship in 1963, as a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah,
and I saw 14, I wasn't cynical enough to go, well, let me see you do it again. I was kind of hoping in 86, you know, in 86.
Sure.
Well, if we get to the Super Bowl next year, maybe Ditko will let Peyton score a touchdown. But, you know, so as a Cub fan and Bear fan, you know, hope springs eternal, even in us geezers. But I want to give you credit for one thing. And I'm not sure if you keep your tapes from preseason, but if you go all the way back to your very first report on Parkinson Spiegel in the first week of training camp, when you came in and talked about observing the Bears' first couple practices, and you were very, you know, you weren't negative about it, but you expressed concerns about Justin Fields right then and there.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, wow, are we, you know, aren't we being a little early here? But you know what? In hindsight, you nailed it on day one.
Yeah.
And you know what? The ceiling was a lot lower than we all thought.
Yep.
And if we had three more years, we're still going to be having the debate. So I'm not, you know, I texted Spiegs this afternoon. I said, you know, if they're going to sell stock in the Caleb Williams nail salons when he gets to town, you know, maybe I'll buy that instead of Bitcoin. But, you know,
Bob, you know, great stuff, my friend.
I don't care if he paints his nails if he can find an open receiver.
Yeah, same. I don't care. Hey, Bob, always keep in mind, my friend, I love the geezers. Remember that. So, yes, absolutely. Bob, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. That's right. Yeah, you're damn right. Like, I like the geezers. Okay, I'm right in the middle. I like the youngins. I like the geezers. I'm like the perfect person.
Did you like? He's like, were you old enough to remember the Bills losing four?
That was nice of him.
Consecutive Super Bowls.
That was nice of him. I thought
saying that he thought you were younger than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
But no, that's what I was saying earlier. I guess I did not mention Jim Kelly's name when I was given, because some of the texters said, would you rather have spectacular quarterback play out of Caleb Williams, but no Super Bowl, like 4,000 yard years and Pro Bowls and amazing stuff? Or would you rather Justin Fields and win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and the reason Bob missed that is because he was on the phone with me. So that's my fault.
I was going to say, Bob catches just about everything. But the parallel is real, and I imagine that they probably talk about this a lot in Buffalo right now, because there is a eerie similarity starting to build there. Isn't there, man? Jim Kelly, an elite quarterback for the time in the 90s, and yes, they went to four Super Bowls and they never won any of them. That's great that they made them, and that is sustained success, ladies and gentlemen. Now here they are again, the Buffalo Bills, with an elite quarterback and Josh Allen, and not able to win the big games in the postseason.
Did you see the look on their fans' faces after Patrick Mahomes went into their stadium again?
Oh, I didn't
with
see.
With his worst team yet.
Did you see some like stills of the fans'
yes.
photos? Oh my God, yeah. He is like what Jordan was to Cleveland and New York and Utah, where you would just see the stills of the people like this, man, you know.
I just cannot imagine how awful that would feel. So to answer that original question, give me the Super Bowl. Give me the Super Bowl, please.
Yeah, I guess, Dad. Give me the damn Super Bowl. We don't have to watch the lead quarterback play. It's just not meant to be in this town. It's just not going to happen. No, well, I am glad to say that I do feel optimistic about Caleb Williams that I do feel good about. And I've been hurt just like you, you know? And you know, part of my curse, I think. I wear the 1980s Bears proudly. You guys know that by now. But I do have to say, it hurts that it's been that long since the Bears have like won the big one. So I totally and completely admit that and understand where people are coming from when they get tired of hearing about all that. But as I said earlier, man, history is important with this organization and the people that are running the team. It's all relevant. And I do believe, yes, we do need to take a break. We will do that. More of your calls coming up. 312-644-6767. We'll talk baseball and the Cubs coming up at 8 o'clock with Megan Montemurro, and we'll see how Justin Steele is doing. I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Texter says, great couple of calls. So we had a couple of great calls. Texter says, I remember that Parkins and Spiegel preseason report, thought you were crazy. I should have listened. And we've had a couple people reference, a couple callers now, that Texter and the caller we just had on the air saying that they thought I was crazy when in the first couple of days of training camp, I said in as nice of a way possible to anybody who would listen to me on the radio that things just didn't look quite right with Justin Fields. And I promise you, I am not doing it. I told you so because I did not want to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like that went against what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Justin Fields be really good and succeed and be the next guy. But from early on in training camp, and you know, I cross-checked it. I was like, I'm not crazy. Like talking to colleagues that are watching it as we're all sitting out there, I'm like, I'm not crazy. I'm not missing anything. I'm just not seeing it. And look, all the points are right by people who say that Justin Fields didn't have as much to work with as what it looks like Caleb Williams will have to work with. But there are enough flaws with Justin Fields' general quarterbacking that made you say, okay, these things aren't going to go away easily. And that's the way the season went on. So, no, I do appreciate it, though. I do appreciate people. I really appreciate that people remember individual conversations from training camp.
Remember when you called Caleb Williams short?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I didn't say that. I will say, because that was from the combine, and I was in one of the huge convention hallways that connects where a lot of the media and some of the player podiums are to where you enter into Lucas Oil Stadium. So convention center attached to Lucas Oil Stadium. It's where you see a lot of traffic in terms of GMs and players, and that's where you can get good information and stuff. And I'm just sitting there with this other guy and another reporter from another city, and there comes Caleb Williams. Like, nobody else around him. Nobody has seen him yet. There's been zero eyes on this man, wondering what he's going to do, if anything. And there he was. And just from a distance, maybe 10 yards away from me or so, as I fumbled to... No, I was on the air when this happened. I was on with Bernstein and Layla as this was happening in real time. So, and in that moment, I'm like, he just didn't overall like impress me, probably because he'd already become a legend in terms of just Caleb Williams. First time I'm seeing the guy, and I'm not over the top impressed with his size. So that became, he's small and all of that kind of stuff. So, and he's 6'1" and a quarter or whatever. I'm no longer concerned about the height. And I don't know if I ever was, considering watching him and the arm angles that he uses. It doesn't seem like height would hurt him in the end, even if he was considered a short guy.
You were just observing.
I was just observing. That's right. That's right. Bob Quickly in Joliet. Hello, Bob. You're on The Score.
Hey, Mark. Thanks. Thanks for taking the call. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. You should have your own show. You have great guests. The first hour of this show was very riveting. Always nice to hear the other side. Here's my opinion on Caleb Williams. He is like a LeBron James. He is a man-child, in my opinion. Larry Bird, in my opinion, is the greatest. He's the GOAT. They asked one interview I saw or listened to. They said, when did you know when you're going to make it in the NBA? He goes, my first practice. No one could guard me, and I hit 17 for 17. Okay, that's Caleb Williams. Also, here's my prediction. NFC Championship. I almost went Super Bowl, but I'll go NFC Championship. Bears. Go Bears.
All right, man. Thanks, Bob.
LeBron James.
Bob. Hey, Bob and I have not always historically had good conversations, so the fact that he's called my show riveting and he congratulated on me in being inducted into the Illinois State University Hall of Fame, that was good. Now, if he had continued to go down the Larry Bird is the GOAT route, then we probably ultimately... Well, I love Larry Bird, though. I don't care to argue against Larry Bird. And he was a mother bleeper. Larry Bird was. Never covered him, but I've read and heard and watched enough of him to know that. MG, this is Herschel. I caught the tail end of your interview with TW. That's Trey Wingo. Sounded like it might have been one of the best interviews on the score when it pertains to JF and the Bears. You should announce on the radio how we can rehear it. Okay, Herschel.
I got you. After the show.
Yes, Alex.
We'll do a little rewind. Okay. Post it to the Twitter.
Okay.
So you can go back and listen. It'll take you exactly to the moment that the interview starts.
Ah, that's beautiful. I'll retweet it for you later, and then you can find it on the Odyssey app right now if you want. You could rewind and check out that interview. So thanks for asking, Herschel. I appreciate it. Thanks for those calls. When we come back, let's talk Cubs with Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Coming up at 8 o'clock with Megan Montemurro, and we'll see how Justin Steele is doing. I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Texter says, great couple of calls. So we've had a couple of great calls. Texter says, I remember that Parkins and Spiegel preseason report. Thought you were crazy. I should have listened. And we've had a couple people reference, a couple callers now, that Texter and the caller we just had on the air, saying that they thought I was crazy when in the first couple of days of training camp, I said in as nice of a way possible to anybody who would listen to me on the radio that things just didn't look quite right with Justin Fields. And I promise you, I am not doing it, and I told you so, because I did not want to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that went against what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Justin Fields be really good and succeed and be the next guy. But from early on in training camp, and, you know, I cross-checked it. I was like, I'm not crazy. Like, talking to colleagues that are watching it as we're all sitting out there, I'm like, I'm not crazy. I'm not missing anything. I'm just not seeing it. And, look, all the points are right by people who say that Justin Fields didn't have as much to work with as what it looks like Caleb Williams will have to work with. But there are enough flaws with Justin Fields' general quarterbacking that made you say, okay, these things aren't going to go away easily. And that's the way the season went on. So, no, I do appreciate it, though. I do appreciate people. I really appreciate that people remember individual conversations from training camp.
Remember when you called Caleb Williams short?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I didn't say that. I will say, because that was from the combine, and I was in one of the huge convention hallways that connects where a lot of the media and some of the player podiums are to where you enter into Lucas Oil Stadium. So convention center attached to Lucas Oil Stadium. It's where you see a lot of traffic in terms of GMs and players, and that's where you can get good information and stuff. And I'm just sitting there with this other guy and another reporter from another city, and there comes Caleb Williams. Like, nobody else around him. Nobody has seen him yet. There's been zero eyes on this man, wondering what he's going to do, if anything. And there he was. And just from a distance, maybe 10 yards away from me or so, as I fumbled to... No, I was on the air when this happened. I was on with Bernstein and Layla as this was happening in real time. So And in that moment, I'm like, he just didn't overall like impress me, probably because he'd already become a legend in terms of just Caleb Williams. First time I'm seeing the guy, and I'm not over the top impressed with his size. So that became he's small and all of that kind of stuff. So, and he's 6'1" and a quarter or whatever. I'm no longer concerned about the height. And I don't know if I ever was, considering watching him and the arm angles that he uses. It doesn't seem like height would hurt him in the end, even if he was considered a short guy.
You were just observing.
I was just observing. That's right. That's right. Bob Quickly in Joliet. Hello, Bob. You're on the Score.
Hey, Mark. Thanks. Thanks for taking the call. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. You should have your own show. You have great guests. The first hour of this show was very riveting. Always nice to hear the other side. Here's my opinion on Caleb Williams. He is like a LeBron James. He is a man-child, in my opinion. Larry Bird, in my opinion, is the greatest. He's the GOAT. They asked one interview I saw or listened to. They said, when did you know when you're going to make it in the NBA? He goes, my first practice. No one could guard me, and I hit 17 for 17. Okay, that's Caleb Williams. Also, here's my prediction. NFC Championship. I almost went Super Bowl, but I'll go NFC Championship. Bears. Go Bears.
All right, man. Thanks, Bob.
LeBron James.
Bob. Hey, Bob and I have not always historically had good conversations, so the fact that he called my show riveting and he congratulated on me in being inducted into the Illinois State University Hall of Fame, that was good. Now, if he had continued to go down the Larry Bird is the GOAT route, then we probably ultimately... Well, I love Larry Bird, though. I don't care to argue against Larry Bird. And he was a mother bleeper. Larry Bird was. Never covered him, but I've read and heard and watched enough of him to know that. MG, this is Herschel. I caught the tail end of your interview with TW. That's Trey Wingo. Sounded like it might have been one of the best interviews on the Score when it pertains to JF and the Bears. You should announce on the radio how we can rehear it. Okay, Herschel.
I got you. After the show.
Yes, Alex.
We'll do a little rewind. Okay. Post it to the Twitter.
Okay.
So you can go back and listen. It'll take you exactly to the moment that the interview starts.
Ah, that's beautiful. I'll retweet it for you later, and then you can find it on the Odyssey app right now if you want. You could rewind and check out that interview. So thanks for asking, Herschel. I appreciate it. Thanks for those calls. When we come back, let's talk Cubs with Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody on the Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app